Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
1884 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my brother?
And all the better to hear your voice, Ahmad. And tell me, what goes through your mind?
Well, let me start off by saying that, you know, I was had the opportunity of attending the event and be addressed by the physician, medical expert, Matt Gilbert, at the NMJ Hall. And I must tell you, you know, I was so moved, so touched. People became emotional, and the, you know, and there were quite a large attendance in any event. When you see exactly what, you know, people in Palestine are going through, and it clearly indicates that no matter what you do and what you say, you will never understand how the plight of the people, of the Palestinian people. We've seen children whose hands were amputated, legs were amputated. We've seen families, entire families being blown up. We had the video, the visuals of all these things that have happened. And really, I must tell you, yes, the world is rising all over the world. More and more people are rising. More and more protests are taking place. Alhamdulillah, we must welcome them. And any, yes, and I think, inshallah, someday we will yield positive results. Palestine will be free. We must not think that we might have 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 people marching here and there, that it's insignificant. I can assure you it's very significant. You know, if you heard what the one of the leaders in the United States of America recently said, how it has made a difference and liberated them. You can see the million-man march that they had the other day. So, yes, there's a whole lot that's going on, and more of them are rising. If you see the Irish Republic, their parliament is also raising serious concerns. South Africa, of course, last week we've had a motion to expel the ambassador, shut down the embassy, the debate. The decision will be taken and the voting will be on Tuesday. And yes, that's basically where we are as far as Palestine. Yesterday, there's been protest march all over, including Durban, Florida Road area. Massive attendance once again. And yeah, I think our people are having a better understanding. Very importantly, today is voter registration day, yesterday and today. You know, and I'm surprised and shocked, Brother Shafford, when a whole lot of people that I was speaking to, and they just said to me they were not registered to vote. And I said, you can't be serious. And they said, yes. I said, well, if you haven't done it, you can go online and register, or you can go and register at the voting stations today. And I want to urge everyone out there, every member of the Ummah, to go out there and register to vote. It's very, very important. We are at a crossroads in this country, and with the decisions we are about to take, particularly on Tuesday, we are not going to be popular. We are already not popular because of our stance and support for the Palestinian cause. Your vote is very, very important in deciding where this country goes. The freedom of our deen, our religion in this country is very, very important. And in order to protect that, protect our human rights, I want you to know and understand that anyone and any organization who cannot feel the pain of the Palestinian people, then they will not feel the pain of anybody. So when you make these decisions, you need to make sure you're making decisions in the interest of yourself, your family, the generations to come, and very importantly, if you don't want any other country to become a Palestine, if you want the Palestinians to be free, then what we do in our own countries can all contribute in effectively in freeing the people of Palestine.
Khalil says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam. Maafa for me bringing up this issue. On the 16th of November 2023, it marked the 163rd anniversary of the arrival of Indians or indigenous laborers from India to South Africa. From the start, the economic progress of the immigrants and the ability to overcome also almost impossible odds generated envy, bitterness, and anti-Indian sentiments from the whites. And I want to tell you that also some Indians are complaining that we Muslims, although we are Indians, but we don't partake offer this a momentous time to embrace it and celebrate it. Please, Ahmed, how do you respond? Because I work with a company that's predominantly Indian, and I too sometimes am prejudiced not to attend these functions. Ahmed, that's a good point made there. What's your response?
Yes, my brother, and Jazakallah, and I appreciate your concern that you're raising, and you're absolutely correct. I don't think we're giving enough recognition to the role of our forefathers who came to South Africa, the horrendous conditions under which they lived, working on the sugarcane plantations and things, and how and the sacrifices that they have made and what they've achieved and how they contributed to the economy of this country. And let me tell you that, and say this again and again, that one would have, you know, you always hear concerns being raised about the plight of farm workers. But if you ever have to go back into the history of the our forefathers who came here to work on the cane field and the conditions under which they worked, but despite that, they were able to progress. Despite that, they made sacrifices. It wasn't unusual for one member of the family to sacrifice his future, give up school and things, go out there, work to uplift the entire family, the extended family as well. So these are some of the sacrifices our people made, the living conditions in those ones. And all because someday our forefathers stood up and said, enough is enough. We are not going to work anymore. We want to own these sugarcane farms and things. And that was the turning point. And that is why today the Indian community can boast being very successful from an economic perspective. We created a whole, in fact, the health sector revolved around our Indian medical experts, you know, the legal field, exactly the same thing. So we've made a lot of contribution to the success of this country and its economy. And you are correct, my brother. Yes, a lot more needs to be done. A lot more needs to be done to where we came, what we had, and where we are today.
Looking at a message from Ibrahim, he says, you got a top man there, Bruce Chef, tell him to keep it up. And he says, Ahmed, the world cannot remain silent. So while hospitals, which should be a safe haven, are transformed into scenes of death, devastation and despair, decisive international action is not forthcoming. We need to stop this now. This manic behavior being carried out by Israel to halt the mass-scale humanitarian crisis that we are witnessing with the help of some of these compromised Arab leadership. Shame. Shame on you, Arabs. Shame on you, so-called Muslims. When will this stop? It will only stop when you grab on onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have hope in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you seem like you have hope in this material world of the West and the deceptive Yahudi regime. How do you respond to that, Ahmed?
Jazakallah for your comments, my brother. Yes, indeed. And you are correct. How barbaric can you be to go out there and go and throw bombs over hospitals? How barbaric can you be knowing and understanding that people, there is no medicine available and you refuse, you know? I want to urge every brother and sister out there, if you haven't, the opportunity is there to go out and listen to Matt Gilbert and watch his video and his presentation on exactly what is happening. And you will be shocked to what extent the human rights violations against the Palestinians exist. You know, you know, the trucks prior to the 7th of October, there was a need for about 400 trucks a day into Gaza for the people to survive. That was the need. There's only 10 to 20 trucks that have been going through. That is how bad it is. And let me tell you what further we found out, that when trucks are there, every part of the truck is checked with what the load is, every part of it. And things like anesthetic and medication is taken out because they want the people to die. It's taken out so that people can die. There is no water available. There is no electricity available. Food products are not going through. That is how bad the situation. Now, one of the excuses they've been using is that the hospital Al-Shifa had a Hamas command center. And that is just, you know, you've heard many statements of the propaganda that's been made. Number one, they said 40 children were beheaded. We now know not one of them. They said it was the Hamas that killed innocent women and children and things. Now we know it's not true. Even a Jewish woman ended up saying that she was there. She was part of them. She was treated so well by Hamas until the Israeli Defense Force, unannounced, came in and attacked them. So that's the so all the propaganda that they have been providing to the mainstream media, which is captured, has now been refuted and proven to be wrong. So, you know, and again, the same thing. I mean, we've spoken to Dr. Matthew, but he's been in these hospitals. He served in these hospitals. If you look at the conditions of those IC, the intensive care unit, if you look at the theater where there is no water, they're telling you that people have come there with wounds, which ended up with maggots, Brother Shepherd, maggots, because there's no water, there's nothing to clean them. They couldn't get them, you know. You'll be shocked at the conditions, the people. We had a case of where, you know, how this entire innocent family had nothing to do, didn't participate in any house was bombed. Two brothers that were not there survived it, were digging through the rubble to identify and find their loved ones, and only for a bomb to be thrown on there as well. So I want to tell you the atrocities in Palestine is beyond humankind, to be honest with you. You can't call yourself a human being, you know, and don't be touched and, you know, have the pain and of what is going on there. So the situation is critical while the world still waits and does very little or nothing about it. But I can say again that more and more people are awakening to the reality of what is happening. Then, inshallah, Palestine shall be free. Palestine will be free someday, inshallah. And if you free Palestine, Brother Shabbat, you will free the entire world.
Inshallah, Amin. Nafis says, Assalamu alaikum. I'm really enthralled and enjoying the show. Allah bless you now and forever, Ahmad and Shafak. He goes on to say, the World Health Organization for Occupied Palestinian Territories office has confirmed, Ahmad, that more than half of the hospitals in Gaza are closed. Those still functioning are under massive strain and can only provide very limited emergency services. Life-saving surgery and intensive care services also very under threat. Shortages of water, food, and fuel are also threatening the well-being of thousands and displaced people, including women and children, who are sheltering in hospitals and their surroundings. I was thinking about a clip that I saw where it said that the Turkish government had sent in truckloads of aids. Is that a false news or is it true news? Please, Ahmad, confirm. Ahmad, how you respond here?
Okay, let me start off by saying, you're correct. There were 34 hospitals that were operating. Only in the latest, what we've won, only 12 of them have been properly functioning, have been partially functioning at this point in time. And there were 34 before. So they are there destroying all the hospital after hospital. But even though little that is existing, if you look at the conditions under which they are working, if you see what I saw of how they were treating these people in those theaters and things with no facilities, the electricity, if you see the commitment of the healthcare workers in these hospitals with no electricity at all, no electricity. They're working in these theaters to try and save lives. That's how bad the situation is. There is no anesthetic. There is no medication you can give these people. There's nothing for even pain. That is how bad the situation is there. But it's correct that what they are doing is, you know, I mean, how inhumane can you be? You're going after the people in the hospitals and you're blowing it up. The number of healthcare workers that have died, the number of journalists that have died is, you know, and nobody does. And these journalists are journalists from all over. But why are they, these countries not standing up when their own people are also dying there? Now, I see that the, and yes, indeed, the Turkish have put up a hospital there as well. Even that has been badly damaged as well, badly damaged, the one that the Turkish took up and put there. But very importantly, I see the UAE has just taken the first law of those that they promised. I think 15 families or mothers and children have been gone there for medical care. I've just heard, we need to confirm. I know that they said they were willing to take up to 1,000 or so, but I'm told they've just taken the first 15. There is indication that, yes, indeed, that the Turkish are now beginning to do more. But my question is, why do we need to wait so long? Why do we need to wait for so many people to die? But is this enough? Is this enough? So they will go up blowing up more people, blowing up more homes, and then you need to deal with the victims. Why can't we prevent this from happening? Why can't we do more? Where is the Arab countries? Where is the so-called Muslim countries? We're not asking them for anything. We're asking them to forget everything else, but just bring the humanity in you and stand up, because I'll tell you why. Someday, all those countries will become a Palestine. Someday, all those countries will become a Palestine if they don't do something about it. Now, Palestinians, with what they are going through, I can assure you that all those Arab nations, their plight will be the same as what is happening in Palestine today if they don't stand up together.
Shafiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Furthermore, Dr. Mads Gilbert emphasized that he had never encountered any indication of a military command center at Al-Shifa Hospital, pointing out that Israel has failed to produce evidence of such a center, despite a sophisticated intelligence system capable of ground scanning and comprehensive population data. The world cannot remain silent, Ahmad, and it seems as if we should be careful of who we're going to back and who we think are good people. To back Donald Trump over Biden is not feasible also, because Donald Trump is the head and tail of the same coin. Donald Trump talks too much, but he's also captured by the Zionists. Ahmad, how you respond here?
Yes, it has been proven beyond doubt now. But remember that everything these people say is to try to create, looking for sympathy from people all over the world. So that's why there's so much of propaganda goes on. There is no doubt about it. Even that Gilbert has confirmed there is no command center there whatsoever. He talks about even the tunnels. He says the tunnels were created by the Israelis. They're non-effective. They don't work. Nothing happens. It's basically non-existent. He explains that as well. But remember, they say these things for people. If you look at those in our country who try to support Israel, they will tell you exactly what our brother has just said now. No, there's command center there. No, they killed so many women and children. But have they been able to produce the evidence? Not a single evidence thus far. Not a single evidence to confirm anything that they have said. And I'm not here defending Hamas or anybody at all. Hamas has confirmed that they have killed Israeli Defense Force members. When I want to tell you, if you see what I saw, then I don't believe anybody, I don't blame anybody in the world to become a terrorist. I'm sorry to say this, but I have to say it again. If you see what I saw with the video visuals of that presentation by Matt Gilbert, you cannot blame anybody. In fact, can I tell you, you can lose your humanity. You can lose your sense of reasoning, rationale. You can lose it by seeing the atrocities to the extent you see it. It will wake any ordinary person and make you into a terrorist just to go out there and defend these people. That's how serious the situation is. So, yes, indeed, there's a lot of propaganda, but as time is going, you can see it more and more. Thanks to Al Jazeera and many others, now we are able to start getting a true picture of exactly what is going on. But I want to say to you, what you see now has been going on all along. It's only because we have access to some media now that we're able to pick this up. But people were going through every other day in their lives in the last 75 years.
Sad indeed, Ahmad. Imran says, Ahmad, there cannot be a watered-down statement of condemnation of both sides of the war. This is not a war. This is a systematic onslaught against a population that has been occupied and dehumanized for 75 years. Gaza 2023 will go down in history as one of the most horrific episodes of calculated cruelty in modern history, because the genocidal violence unleashed has been so overwhelmingly supported by liberal Western states and the leaders, and because its evidence was so immediate, so obvious, and so live-streamed to the whole world. Ahmad, we are people of truth. Free, free Palestine. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. And to that, Elon Musk, who's playing a double game with us, you can take out that line, but we will still shout it loud and proud. Ahmad, how you respond there?
JazakAllah, brother. Inshallah, Palestine will be free. I honestly and truly believe Palestine will be free. But yes, I must agree with you that the atrocities there, it's genocide, it's a Holocaust. You understand, it's barbaric. It clearly indicates, and I've come to the conclusion that you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human and non-human in human beings. Non-human in human beings. For anybody to be able to see what is going on and not be touched or moved by it, I say it again, and want to still support the state of Israel, then I don't know. They can't be normal human beings. Really, you can't. Whatever religion, whatever caste, whatever gender, no matter who you are, if you can't feel what we feel, just by, you know, I promise you, if you look at the number of people that became emotional in that gathering on Friday, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. So, yes, we must be very, very careful that if we, and we must, and by saying that, I mean, we must continue our struggle to free Palestine. We must continue our struggle to free the world. This world is up to this very day. It's in the hands of a handful of people. The World Health Organization is in the hands of a few. The entire economy is in the hands of a few people. And these people go to any extent, even have their own people die to achieve that control and that power. So I think, you know, and alhamdulillah, I must, you know, commend the people in this country with the stand they've taken on Palestine. I really must commend them. They come in their numbers. They make a lot of sacrifices to come there. If you see our people, you know, even the aged, old people, brother, the chaplain, are welcoming the entire Florida Road, Montpelier Road, right down to over Argyle Road, Clarence Road, and came back the other way. But nobody complained. They were all doing it for the Palestinian people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them abundantly for that and for their efforts in freeing Palestine. And I do agree, Palestine will be free, inshallah. Palestine will be free.
JazakAllah for that, Ahmad. Musa says, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. I'm a retired educator, and World Teachers Day was celebrated last month, and much of the media coverage focused on South Africa's teacher shortage crisis, with many asking what needs to be done to produce more and better teachers. My bottom line is, we are not focusing on the children. We have an education department that has proven to be a failure, and then we have this other queer things coming through to destroy the youth and to destroy the children. There's no such thing as what type of teachers. It is how we're going to stop this onslaught of dehumanizing the morality of our children. Teachers, stop joining unions, stop worrying about money, be true teachers like our teachers, like how we thought. T-A-U-G-H-T, our students. Ahmad, your response to Musa?
Yes, sir. JazakAllah, brother Musa. I do agree with you. I think the teaching has become unionized to such an extent now the unions dictate exactly what you should do, what you should do, what is good enough or not. And I must be honest, unions are only interested in their membership and their money. They're not interested in how much did you find some of these unions doing about improving the quality of education. Our education system in the country is one of the weakest. One of the weakest, I can tell you. I mean, grade 8 can't read for meaning. And we think it's okay. So there's no doubt about it. But also I want to tell you, educators in South Africa are going through a very difficult time. Very, very difficult time because of the dysfunctional society we live in. The conduct and behavior of children, this child's rights that we are giving them, corporal punishment, the thing of the past. I know when we went to school we did it wrong, we got an ID. We came back home and got an additional ID. Now it's the other way around. So, yes, I think, you know, but the influence of unions on workers, you know, including teachers and others, is having an effect, an adverse effect on the quality of and the performance of our educators in this case, and the workforce generally in the country as well.
Let's make this a last question, Boniface. This one says, teacher salaries are the single largest line item in the South African budget, Ahmad. In 2022, teacher salaries accounted for one-third of all public sector wages at 222 billion rands, approximately 3.5% of the GDP and 10% of the total government expenditure. Furthermore, the average teacher in 2019 earned 42,668 rands per month in salary and benefits, placing teachers in the top 5% of the income distribution in South Africa. Is that a decent salary, Ahmad?
Well, the latest report says that South Africa's public sector earns the most amount of money anywhere in the world. Our public sector not only teachers, but all of them are the highest paid in the world. And the question you need to ask is, are we getting value for money? Are we getting value for money if you look at the quality in the education sector in any case? And how much has that changed? In fact, it deteriorated over the years. But sometimes it's not actually the educators that are to blame for it. It's the policies of the department who's not willing to listen. And unions, like we said earlier, have not contributed positively to uplifting the quality of education in the country. But, you know, almost, what, 60-some-odd, almost 70% of your budget in the country goes towards the administration. And yet look at the state of the country as a whole. So the question we need to ask is the amount of money we pay, are we getting value for money? No, we're not. And we need to rethink. And you look at the pressure that unions put on the public sector wage bill. And for that extent, government actually goes to borrow money to meet these increases in salaries and benefits for the public sector. That's how bad the situation is. But also I want to say that not everybody in the education system are earning adequately or earning enough for them to be able to survive. And it's exactly the same thing. Look at the healthcare workers, what they have gone through even during COVID and things of that nature. What additional benefit all those that have died, including teachers and healthcare workers during COVID, healthcare workers had no choice. They had to go. Okay? And what happened? Have they got any additional benefit? Their families are now today trying to survive at the great loss of their loved ones. Have we gone that extra mile? No. That's the problem we are facing. So, yes, indeed, I think we need to look at the quality. I've just heard yesterday when somebody says to me how a person was taken because of this coalition in politics from one of a position of a manager in the office of the speaker to the manager of the mayor. And the guy's only got matric, earning a top salary now in that municipality. Nobody has done anything about it. That's how bad the situation. So the question is, with all the money that you pay, are you really getting value? Are you putting in people that got the capacity and ability to do the job? No. You're putting them because they align to your organization. So that's the other problem that you are facing as far as that is concerned.
Well, I can tell you, absolutely great morning in your company. Allah bless you. Allah keep you. Your parting words before we let you go.
Last, again, my brothers and sisters, it's very, very important that we all go out there and register to vote. Your voice needs to be, you can't participate. You have no right to complain. You have no right to raise concerns about the state of the country if you don't participate in the final solutions to it. I want to urge, in the interest of Palestine, in the interest of the Ummah, for our religious freedom and protection in this country, and to be able to have a voice that will be heard all over the world so that we can come together to create a better world. I urge every one of you, if you haven't registered yet, go and register to vote today. There is even online registration. And other thing is, I want to say that when you go to register to vote, you know, I some people called me to ask me, can I go and vote in another area? I said, you must remember that when you go and vote in another area, you lose your rights over the ward that you belong to, because you're supposed to be the voice of the people in your ward as well. While you can go there, but then you're not going to reap the benefits of your ward, because that's where you are supposed to be in consultation with your councillors and your municipalities and others to be able to identify priorities to deal with issues of concern in those areas. So that can be and will be affected in terms of your participation there. But you can go and register elsewhere to go and vote if you want to go and register to vote. Or you can even go, and if you don't want to go today to go out and do it, then you still have the online. But remember, the moment the president makes an announcement, it's going to be closed. So let's do it and do it as soon as possible. Inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.